Tuesday afternoon, and welcome to Connecting the Dots with Dan Happel. And today our guest is going to be George Kaler. George is an insurance broker. He is an investment advisor. He's an author. He was a professional musician back in the years, and he was actually on the professional band tour for years with Motown Records. He is an entrepreneur. He is someone who works with a mission in Africa. This gentleman has more handles than anybody I can think of. And he's going to be talking with us today about some of his experiences with the insurance actuaries, with the COVID jabs, with things like the missionary work that's going on in Africa and the use of chlorine dioxide and hydroxychloroquine. We're going to be talking about a lot of things, so join us on the other side of the break.
With so much of the world's current food supply consisting of dirty, contaminated, genetically modified foods that may have been grown using herbicides and pesticides, increased scrutiny over what you put in your body is of the utmost importance. Even supposedly organic foods found on most grocery store shelves may contain toxic substances, chemicals, and other additives that can be harmful to your health. That's why here at BrighteonStore.com, we subject all our in-house products to extensive lab testing for glyphosate, heavy metals, and microbiology using our state-of-the-art spectrometry equipment to ensure the highest quality of cleanliness and purity. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
Hi guys, welcome. We're here at the Reawaken Tour. Guys, get on that line here and watch Brighty on TV. Number one out there, number one in the world with Ohio Brett and everybody else. I'm Todd. We own this company called MakeHoneyGreatAgain.com, and we donate a lot of money to different charities. We're here this weekend to support the J6ers and their struggles and help them get to the finish line here that's hopefully soon.
All right, thanks for watching Brighty On and Will Jones, Apostolic Conservative Show. You can find me at APOSTOLIC, the word conservatives with an S.com.
Nearly all the vitamin C sold at retail today comes from China, and it's made from genetically modified corn. Even though vitamin C is a critical part of immune support, it's also critical to know where your vitamin C comes from. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com, and we only sell non-China, non-GMO vitamin C. We then subject it to rigorous laboratory testing in our own food science lab, checking for heavy metals, glyphosate, as well as microbiological contamination. Only after it passes our tests do we encapsulate it and package it for our audience. You can find it at BrighteonStore.com. It's not the cheapest vitamin C on the market, but it is by far the most rigorously tested and honestly sourced vitamin C available anywhere in the world. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com.
Welcome back to Connecting the Dots, and today our guest is George Kaler, and George is going to be talking about us about any number of subjects, but let's start, George, with talking about your book, Surviving Georgie, because that was so much fun to read. That was my introduction to you, and through that book, I learned a great deal about you, and the main thing I learned is that you and I had very similar childhoods as far as some of the stuff we got into as farm kids. So welcome to the program.
Thanks a lot, Dan. You know, aren't you glad we lived in that era and we lived on a family farm? The kids today, they're missing out on so much that you and I had. I almost feel guilty about what you and I had. We were introduced, by the way, you and me, by my agent, Pat Matriciana, and he was fronting the book, and it looked like it was really going to go somewhere, and then he died. And what a loss that was for me, and I think for the world. But I'm so happy that he introduced us. Now, the book Surviving Georgie is my autobiography, ages 5 to 12. And it tells the story of a small family farm in Pennsylvania Dutch country, outside Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. Every word is true, every person is real, and I may need police protection when I go back. But Surviving Georgie, it isn't just about the people who had to survive my childhood, ages 5 to 12. There's several incidents in it where I should have been killed, but wasn't. And but that's the family farm. I think, Dan, you probably had some brushes with death yourself. Oh, on yeah. The family farm. It's a dangerous.
It was almost a daily occurrence, as you know, George.
It's a dangerous occupation. At any rate, if you want to check out the book, it's at survivinggeorgie.com. There we go. And it was a bestseller in Amish stores. In fact, it's still selling in Amish stores. And last December, a couple of the Christmas stories were lifted from the book, and they were published in American Essence magazine, one of my favorite magazines. So it was about Christmas on the Kaler farm and how we did things, and then Christmas at the one room school and how we did things there. And one on the farm, it's pretty sentimental, but at the school, it's just, people say they just fell out of their chairs laughing about mm-hmm. the antics of what went on. And I wrote it for people over 70 so that they could enjoy and reminisce and remember what life was like back then. But the main fan mail came from kids about 10 years old or so, saying, "Grandpa Georgie, were things really like that? Why aren't they like that now?" And then one wrote, "Who took it?" I thought, you know, their childhoods have been stolen. Mm-hmm. They don't have what we had. So, but Dan, it's just a joy to be with you today. And I hope people do check out Surviving Georgie. By the way, it's a history book, a mm-hmm. history book of rural America, your history and mine as well, 1949 to 1956, my ages 5 to 12. And I was thinking of writing a book of my teen years or perhaps my rock and roll years, but believe me, they would be horrifically different from the innocence yeah. of the family farm.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of the same way. We grew up in a time where we had the freedom to be knotheads and to get away with a lot of stuff that, frankly, today we couldn't get away with. But isn't that tragic? Because that was part of the process of growing up. We had to learn these valuable lessons, and sometimes those lessons had to hurt and hurt a whole lot for you to remember them.
Some of mine almost got me killed. And if you look at the cover of the book, there's a little boy there with a team of chickens pulling him. That really happened. I caught a bunch of chickens and tied them to my wagon. And because I'd been watching a show called Death Valley Days, and it was advertised by 20 Mule Team Borax. And so I thought, you know, if you have a whole flock of chickens pulling your wagon, they could do the trick. Well, it didn't work out for the chickens or for me. And we had chicken dinner for that Sunday, and everybody got a whole chicken.
Well, I think I told you this, but I did a similar thing, only I tied my wagon to the tail of one of our milk cows and scared the crap out of the cow, and she took off across the field dragging me and the wagon upside down and going through the ditches, and my dad finally tracked her down to be able to, and he kind of backed her into a corner in the field and kind of got that wagon off her tail. I covered about, oh, I don't know, I'd say a quarter of a mile, pretty close to a drag racing record. I imagine it wasn't much more than about 15 or 16 seconds to get me across that quarter mile.
She had had enough of you.
Oh boy. Yeah, no, that's kind of crazy stuff. And you know, when you're a kid, you just have this wild imagination. And the thing is, that's what made us into kind of creative entrepreneurs, isn't it?
You know, we didn't have any money. And we didn't know we didn't have any money because nobody else had any money either. And so we lived in a honey economy. And of course, we had farm animals, chickens and beef and pigs. And one time, by the way, Daddy told my brother Meyer and me to kill the pig. We were going to butcher a hog. And he said, why don't we have a pig hunt? Give that thing a chance. So he let the pig go. And we hunted it. He had Daddy's 30-06. I won't tell you the rest of the story. It wasn't even the, it turned out so awful that it wasn't even the book. You're supposed to shoot a pig in the head with a 22, not in the chest with a 30-06.
Right. You're gonna spoil a lot of meat that way for sure. Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about you've had so many experience, but one of the things that I'd really like to talk about is you're an insurance broker. You're an investment advisor, but you've worked with actuaries, and I'd like to talk about things that have been happening in the insurance industry since COVID, since I refer to it as the plandemic. It has changed the whole insurance industry in ways that I don't think a lot of people are aware of.
Unless they were in the industry, they really don't know. And unless they've applied for a large insurance policy lately, they don't suspect anything's going on. My investment business, I've been in the business 51 years after I retired from the rock and roll tour in 1972. And things have changed so much. The applications back then, you didn't even have to have a medical unless it was a very large policy. And the questions were pretty simple because people lived fairly healthy lives and lived a long time. But now the application is like 20 pages long. And an investment application, we did one the other day. The application, a lot of it was boilerplate, but the application itself was over 150 pages. For a client of mine who wanted to invest $800,000. So getting back to insurance, the actuaries are the ones who determine whether a policy and the company's practices are going to be profitable or not. And what we've discovered is, how the actuaries have discovered, is that vaccinated people have presented a real problem. And there's a lot of them. Just yesterday, I was talking to one of my clients who came very, very near to death. And he was operated on at Temple Hospital in Philadelphia, the only hospital that does this kind of surgery. And it's being done. They're inundated with patients who have been vaccinated, and then they developed blood clots in their lungs, and the blood clots have hardened. When his case, his breathing was down to roughly oxygen intake less than 15%, and he very, very nearly died, and he's still not out of the woods. Several patients in the hospital who had been vaccinated did die while he was there. And so the actuaries are looking at this, and they're looking at people who have been vaccinated because their lifespans are different from those who have not been vaccinated. It's a tyranny. Because it was damned if you do, damned if you don't. If you didn't get the vaccination, you were fired in a lot of cases. If you did get the vaccination, they injected in something into you that might have a radical change in your physical, just the whole thing. That, as Biden says, the thing. But we don't know what kind of changes are going to be in there. But we do know that people are dying because of the vaccination. And that's such a hush-hush thing that they've done that. You called it a plandemic, and you couldn't have been more descriptive. It was planned. Mm-hmm. It is doing the job that it was supposed to do. It was supposed to destroy our economy. It was supposed to disrupt the election and allow a fraud beyond any comprehension to happen. And now it's disrupting life itself. And we haven't begun to see the end of this.
No, I think you're right. And as you know, I kind of cut my teeth on exposing Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030. I've become a bit of an expert in that. And one of the things that stands out about Agenda 21, 2030, and the so-called sustainability of the human race is that it has to be reduced to fewer than a billion people. Now, I don't say that, they say that. That is right in their own words. They say that for a sustainable society, humans have to be reduced to fewer than a billion people. And of course, eugenics and some of these other things have been around a long time. And they're part of the sustainability movement. And it just makes sense. They create a vaccine with the spike protein, with model RNA built into it, the nanochips and the technology built into it, where human beings can be manipulated and things physically can happen to human beings. Of course, we're seeing these extensive blood clots in human beings, and you know, it's not a single occurrence. It's happening all over the country.
It's not just here. As you know, I have medical clinics in Uganda and Kenya. And the doctors over there are talking about young soccer players. They deal a lot with athletes over there. And soccer is almost a religion in other countries. And how young soccer players, 21, 22, 23 years old, are coming to them with cardiac problems. And they had all had one thing in common, the jab. And in Uganda, one of my doctors there, Dr. Sam Amara, I asked him at the end of his day, how was your day? And he said, Grandpa, they all call me Grandpa. I'm the white grandpa to these villagers. He said, Grandpa, I was dodging tear gas on the way to the clinic and dodging bullets on the way back. How was your day? I just felt so guilty. And what they're doing, pickup trucks with militia, government-paid militia going around checking people to see if they have their COVID vaccination passport. And if they don't have it, they're hauled off and vaccinated. And it's just, there was curfew where people couldn't even get out to get food. And that's where the machine guns came in. Now, we don't hear much about that, but we've created, and with along with China, a horrific situation, not just for us, but for the world.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, George. And we've seen that. You saw the threats of this, and I don't know how much you can talk about this, but you and I shared one common thing. We both went to Washington, D.C. on January 6, 2021, and you took a group with you. I actually was with a group as well. We went there to hear the president speak, to show our support for the president, but also that the questions of the election had to be addressed, and they had to be addressed by Congress. And because of the phony so-called riots and insurrection that happened at the Capitol, those hearings never occurred. Are you at liberty to talk at all about your experience and what happened with you?
I can talk about what happened, but I can't talk about the lawsuit that's going on. I'm suing a hate group right now, and I can't talk about the lawsuit until after I win. But but the thing is, it's a cancel culture thing where if I disagree with you, we're not going to have a debate. I'm going to try to destroy you financially, destroy your reputation, destroy your family, your job, everything I can destroy. I cancel you. And it's such a horrific thing. And what I'm looking for now is a jury trial. So we're working towards that. I want the cancel culture itself to go on trial. We both heard President Trump's speech when he said going peacefully and forcefully, make your voices heard. He didn't say do anything violent, he said peacefully. And so I walked over, I'm a fast walker, it's about 2 miles from where he talked over to the, through the mall over to the Capitol. And I was over at the reflecting pool. I looked up there and there were a lot of people. And I asked a guy that was already there, I said, where'd they come from? And he said, well, they've been here maybe an hour. I said, they didn't get to hear Mr. Trump's talk. And he said, maybe they didn't want to hear Mr. Trump's talk. But there were some provocateurs there, professional provocateurs. And a girlfriend of mine, a 77-year-old girlfriend, real patriot named Renee. Renee came back where I was standing. I said, where have you been? She said, I was over near the steps. And Antifa was there inviting people in. They took down the little barriers that were there. I said, how do you know they were Antifa? And she said, I asked them, and they said, this guy said, yeah, we're Antifa. He said, I'm making $45 an hour. What are you making? Anyway,
wow.
She said, I could tell it was a trap. And I knew it was a trap as well. And you could just tell there were professional, there were plants there. And of course, Antifa inviting people in. They had on the mega hats and everything, but they were so out of place. And it's a little bit like when I lived in Germany during the 80s. A German could spot me as an American. You can spot somebody who's not quite out of place, even though 100% of my DNA is German. They could tell I wasn't a German just by looking at me. Mm-hmm. And you could tell these people that were the paid professionals there. So I didn't go in. And so those people that were on the steps, they started, you remember when they were throwing stun grenades down there?
Mm-hmm.
And I said to a friend, they're going to rile those people up. You don't do that to a crowd. And then they started firing these plastic bullets and hitting people with plastic bullets. Well, they sting like hell. Mm-hmm. And I said to my friend again, I said, there's going to be trouble. And sure enough, there was trouble. Mm-hmm. And remember, you got a message on your phone from the mayor, curfew, get off the mall, you'll be arrested. So I left, and then I found out the next day, the poor Ashley Babbitt, who, 100-pound, unarmed girl, was murdered. And the guy who murdered her wasn't even called to account at all. I hope the truth of this horrific tyranny comes out.
Well, it's got to, George, it's got to. And I agree with you completely, because you and I both were big Trump supporters. I had been to a half a dozen different Trump events. Several of them, I was literally within 20 feet of the president. And they were the most peaceful, friendly, benign, very, very happy, very, very celebratory. These were really neat events. And we had never seen the kind of troublemakers that we saw on the mall and at the Capitol. They were definitely plants. They were put there to cause trouble. And we could identify them when we were standing. I was standing right in front of where the president spoke, within literally feet of the fence that was along there. And right behind us, there were people that were screaming at the top of their lungs and saying, you know, we've got to stop this. We've got to go to the Capitol, and we've got to tear up the Capitol and things like that. And we knew, everybody in the crowd knew, they didn't belong there.
And they were paid provocateurs, as we call them. And, you know, during the Tea Party movement, I was one of the original founders of the Tea Party. And at our, I don't know if you've ever attended one of our rallies, but there was something called...
I was one of them in Montana. I was one of the founders in Montana.
Okay, so all three people in Montana attended, I'm sure.
Hey, I'm going to tell you something. We had our Tea Party rally in 2008 or 2009. I can't remember.
Would have been 2009.
Okay, 2009, and we had like 4,000 people show up in front of Bozeman.
That was about
4,000.
That was about everybody. But before the break, we had something called Tea Party Imposters, and that is paid provocateurs that would come to the Tea Party rallies with her horrible signs and doing really antisocial stuff. And so we set it up where you had to be a card-carrying member of the Tea Party, and we could challenge anyone that was there that was acting up. Show me your membership card. And if they couldn't show it, they were escorted, sometimes forcefully, out of the crowd.
Yeah, we did a similar thing because you're right. They would carry like Nazi flags and stupid stuff that were really easy to spot.
Yeah. Well, I see we're coming up on the break, Dan.
We are. We'll get back on the other side of the break with more from George Kaler.
This was made possible by Brighteon.com. After being deplatformed by YouTube, I built Brighteon.com so that we can speak. All voices of dissent are welcome. Join Brighteon.com now. Post your videos today and start building an audience there where you will not be censored. Brighteon.com. The global currency collapse will wipe out the dollar and many other assets, and the only things that will maintain value during the global debt reset are those with intrinsic value that do not require governments, corporations, or markets to make good on their obligations. At the top of this list of intrinsic assets is physical gold and silver. These precious metals have outlasted every failed civilization and government in human history, and they are non-digital, which means they still hold value even if the power grid fails. The Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company is my go-to source for physical precious metals that are delivered securely and discreetly into your hands. Visit BrighteonMetals.com to check their live pricing and in-stock coins and bars. Find out why they are my trusted source for physical metals and why they're the official sponsor of Brighteon.tv. BrighteonMetals.com.
In recent years, the world has only become increasingly more chaotic and uncertain. Disruptions to the supply chain have resulted in global food shortages, making it difficult for us to access the very resources we need to live in a functioning society. That's why it is now more important than ever to be prepared for the unexpected. Here at Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com, we've made it our mission to help you and your loved ones be prepared for any emergency, which is why we are dedicated to bringing you a wide selection of ultra-clean and lab-verified superfoods, supplements, preparedness items, and other health products. So support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
Welcome back to Connecting the Dots with Dan Happel. And today my guest is George Kaler, and we're having fun off camera because George was telling me about how you keep sand cobras out of your sleeping bag if you happen to be in Africa. And apparently they put this great big rope around the sleeping bag, and for some reason the cobras won't go around that rope. They can't go over it. They're afraid to touch it. So fascinating story. Anyway, George, welcome back. And you were at the Capitol on January 6th, 2021. We were there for a reason. We were there to show support for the president. It wasn't about insurrection. I know a lot of people that went to that. And as far as I'm concerned, the only ones that were really interested in insurrection were the provocateurs that were there to cause the problem. And the net result was the hearings that were scheduled for later that day to discuss the anomalies in the Georgia vote count, in Pennsylvania, in Wisconsin. All these anomalies that were going to be challenged in front of Congress, it just went away. Nothing ever happened. There was no regard to it at all. And ultimately, the scam got done. China Joe Biden was selected president by the power elite, and there we are. And now we're right back on the path to globalism and one world government, because that's the bottom line on all this. They want to get rid of the United States as a constitutional republic and put us on a path to a global technocratic feudalism that they control. So I want your response to that.
You couldn't be more right. And it's a little bit like watching a magician. You know, he'll do all kinds of flourishes with this hand as he's doing all this stuff. What you need to do is watch his other hand. It's doing the actual magic. And so they staged this January 6th so-called insurrection with the, as we said, the provocateurs that were paid to do so. But that was the other hand. It just, watch this. Now this over here, we're not going to discuss the anomalies of the election. I have some information that I can't say on the air, but I absolutely know firsthand about 200 votes that were stolen, and they were going to be given to Biden. It's called ballot harvesting. I don't know if you saw the movie 2,000 Mules with Dinesh. He's really smart. I had dinner with him one night. Just we were together and we were talking over things, and I thought, wow, I know I have several Indians who are clients, and I have a term, Indian smart, because those people are so smart.
They are.
But that movie, it didn't get the attention it should have. And using the cell phone ping technology, which they discounted because of the movie, but that's what the CIA and the FBI and so on use to track down criminals, terrorists, and so on. The cell phone, the pings, tells you where you were, who you were with, how long you were there, where you went. And 2,000 Mules just showed how the ballot harvesters took the ballots to the drop boxes. And 2,000 of them, even though there were many, many thousands of them, but just those 2,000 represented several million votes, which would have certainly won Georgia, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Arizona.
Absolutely.
Trump won, and he probably even won in my home state of Virginia, just from what I know happened here in Lynchburg.
Well, George, before the election was actually called, the German government was showing on the internet all the states that Trump had won up to that point, and they claimed that 42 states had gone to Donald Trump. And I think that's probably, if the truth were known, before China started flipping votes, before all the hand-delivered so-called ballot box votes and all the rest, if you took all those things into account, I would say that probably Donald Trump did win by many, many millions of votes.
Well, we have what we have now, and I'm not sure what to do with it. We were played. They played it well. The problem with conservatives like you and me, constitutional conservatives, and I'm not even sure I'm a Republican right now because I'm so angry with the Republican Party. It's a horrible thing to be attacked by traitors and defended by cowards. And that's what we have going on right now.
Absolutely.
But we've been so tarred, and those poor people who went into the Capitol at invitation are now rotting in the federal gulag. It's like a Nazi Germany or what Solzhenitsyn wrote about in Russia, just horrific tyranny against innocent people.
Yeah, it is. And it is the American Gulag. And incidentally, there's a wonderful book out about that that they're using as a fundraiser to raise funds to try to help the families, because so many of the families of the people that are still in the jails, and so many of them that sat there for, you know, anywhere from a year and a half to 2 years, they lost, a lot of them lost their homes, they certainly lost their jobs, they lost a lot by just standing up and trying to be patriots and saying, we just want fair and open elections. That's all they asked for. We aren't asking for tyranny. We're not asking for some kind of an insurrection. What we're doing is trying to avoid that, because frankly, the people that are in there now are the ones that are creating the tyranny and the insurrections, because there's no question about it. If we don't turn things around right now, we'll never have another honest election in this country ever again.
Yeah. And by the way, you were talking about helping the people and their families that are locked up. GoFundMe wouldn't do any of that. They wouldn't help the people that are in prison. So there's another group was accepting funds to do this, and they were raided by the feds. The funds were confiscated. Mm-hmm. And the excuse was that that was the cost of prosecuting those people. It cost that much money. And so they just simply took it. So not only are they in the federal prison for no crime that I can think of, but they're not allowed to be helped either. And that is another, it's just such raw tyranny. I can't believe I'm looking at this in reality. It's like it's a nightmare I can't wake up from.
We never dreamed, George, you and I both, we grew up in a patriotic America where we always knew that we stood for good and right, and that America, even though it made a lot of mistakes over the past two centuries, deep down inside, we were always trying to do the right thing. The last 40 or 50 years has destroyed that dream completely. Because what we see happening today is the antithesis of what good and right is all about. And all I can say, I agree with you completely. When we look at the level of tyranny today that's going on in this country, it's heartbreaking, because we were idealists. We grew up in a time when we thought the United States of America was the absolutely the most wonderful country in the world, and I still do. But, oh man, are we being guided down the wrong path by a bunch of absolute satanic, devils, nasty, horrible people. I can't say enough bad about them, because they don't give a damn about America and our independence and our freedom. As a matter of fact, they want to take that away.
Well, I lived in Germany during the 1980s. I mentioned that earlier. And did you know that the Nazis were less than 5% of the German population? But they were organized. And the problem is, guys like you and me and my clients and our families and stuff, we're busy raising families, paying taxes, earning an income, and so on. In the meantime, active, without any rules, war is being raged on us. And trying to get rid of our way of life, trying to get rid of us, as we said earlier. So we're at such a handicap when we're doing what we're supposed to do, and the other side is actively making war on our freedoms. And by the way, here you are, here I am. I'm almost 80. I won't say how old you are, but that's a lot younger than I am.
I'm working on it.
Okay. Well, you're a lot younger than I am, but this show, and you and me, it isn't about us, really. It's about our children and grandchildren. The repercussions of everything that's going on, we probably aren't going to live that long in whatever that's going to be, although my dad lived to be over 100, but mother only lived to 96. But but the thing is, I don't know how long I'm going to live, but I do know that I don't want my children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and further generations to live in the country that I'm watching it, that what it's becoming.
I agree. We're idealists because we have lived the American dream. You've lived the American dream just like I have. I grew up in a very, very humble situation. We certainly weren't quite privileged. That is the biggest joke in the world. We work like dogs. I started working pretty much after school on weekends and after school 5 days a week when I was 8 years old. That was just a part of growing up in a very poor rural environment. But on the other hand, we have done very well in our lives as a result of that because we learned valuable lessons, and we couldn't have done that same thing in any other country in the world. And now they're trying to take that away. And our children and our grandchildren are going to see a totally different world. And George, I know you and I agree completely on this. We have to fight to the death to assure that they don't win this battle against freedom, that they don't take our legacy and destroy it.
You know, I have a couple of clients who were Cuban refugees. They're both retired now, very successful. And one of them arrived in Miami after he escaped Castro's communist dictatorship there. He arrived in Miami with $1.35 in his pocket. But he arrived in a country that had freedom. This was in the 1960s. He became very successful, an electrical engineer, an inventor, married an American girl, raised a wonderful family. And another one he swam around where he was, around to Guantanamo Bay, where he knew he could get refuge. And he did it at night. And I said, "Were you afraid of the sharks?" He said, "No, I was afraid of Cuban gunboats. They were there flashing the water with these searchlights, and they were machine gunning any swimmers they found." Well, he arrived in Guantanamo Bay, got to America, opened up a costume jewelry business, and it became extraordinarily successful. And now he owns a hotel in San Juan, Puerto Rico, and I've stayed at his hotel a couple of times, and a wonderful place. But he started off with absolute nothing, but he started off in a different America where he thought he could do it, and he did it.
I had a similar experience with a friend from Cambodia. He and his wife escaped Pol Pot. The killing fields were going on in Cambodia. He escaped with his wife. They were boat people. They managed to get out of the country. They got picked up by Australian Navy out in the middle of the ocean. They didn't know if they were going to survive or not. They were out of water. They were out of everything. He got to the United States, and I haven't talked to him in quite a while, but he was extremely successful in a real estate brokerage firm. And these people understand what a unique and wonderful thing we have. And when I see these spoiled, rotten Ivy League brats that come from these upper middle class or nouveau rich families that have turned against this country, I'd like to grab them by the throat and shake the living crap out of them.
I did that once to a Turkish boy in Germany. He was picking on my daughters. He was about 14 or 15, and they were only like 7. I saw him on the street one day, and I grabbed him by the chest, and I shook him, and I said, "Du schadest mein Tochter, nicht schade dich," and I threw him up against the wall. Then I looked around, I thought, uh-oh. Well, the next day he behaved himself. In fact, my daughter said he was watching the other kids to make sure none of them did anything to my daughters because he was afraid he would get blamed. But I think these spoiled, rotten kids that think they can just get away with this, they really do need a good shaking for their sake as well as for the country. By the way, can I give you an advertisement real quick? They can find me teawithgeorge.com. Tea with George, real easy. Have a cup of tea with George.com. And also survivinggeorgie.com. That's about the book. And I hope people take a look at that.
Well, your minute every day, Tea with George, is just absolutely wonderful. Kind of a little 60-second dose of common sense. And it's always right on subject, right where the current event should be leading us to use our common sense and say, this is not working the way it's going. We need to change things from what they are to what we used to have. And that's really where you're coming from.
Well, Dan, you know, I've asked you a couple of times now, shamelessly, if I could borrow your ideas when I saw something, hey, I can fit this into a minute. And so I said, Dan, can I have this? By the way, yesterday I started on China and the organ transplant business. And they usually use the Christians and the Falun Gong to involuntarily harvest organs. They have a huge database. And Ancestry.com, I don't know if you know anything about it, but Chinese are buying our database of DNA. And they have, if you want, let's say, a human heart, if you've got the money, you'll have it within a week. And it'll be from, you've heard of the phrase, in that man beats the heart of a Christian. Mm-hmm. Was literally true.
Absolutely.
That heart came of a Christian. So, and then today's is on the fentanyl crisis. I have three friends who lost their sons to fentanyl. And the Chinese fentanyl industry, brought over our southern border by Biden's illegal immigrants, are killing anywhere from 100,000 to 180,000 Americans each year. And I know three of them right here in the last year. It's just a crisis that we can't seem to draw attention to. And Biden's people are just coming over the border with that poison.
Well, and now there's a very, very good evidence that says that there's been more than 500,000 Chinese troops have crossed the U.S. border. And we know that they're bringing in terrorists from different countries around the world. The game cameras, there's game cameras scattered all along the border. And my friend Christy Hutcherson has video evidence of large groups of Middle Eastern looking men, heavily armed, going across the border.
They can get away with it. By the way, do you know Frank Gaffney?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what a man. But he just wrote a book on China that I recently bought. And they're sleeper cells. And when they're awakened all at one time, I think America's going to get the surprise of their lives. It's going to make 9/11 look like kindergarten play.
Yeah, very definitely. And they are working on getting all those sleeper cells in place right now. They're in cities and places all over the country. That's one of the reasons that Biden is actually transporting some of these illegals to different cities around the country. Get them well dispersed so that they can do a lot of damage.
They know what they're going to do, and they're going to be told when to do it. By the way, I think I got myself into a lot of trouble today. Probably you got yourself into a lot of trouble, but I've been reading you now for several years, and you're not afraid of trouble, Dan.
Well, you know, the thing is, I'm a Christian man, so are you. And ultimately, I'm not afraid because I know that my Lord and Savior's on my side. And really, what are they going to do? They're going to kill us? Ooh.
That's the most they could do.
Well, the thing is that's almost a good thing, you know. It really, it would be a good thing if I want to stay here long enough to be a royal pain in the ass for anybody trying to bring down this country.
A worthy goal. You know, my dad, when he was 100, which his birthday, his 107th birthday would be this month, but he said, you know, life is still interesting, but I'm ready to be with the Lord whenever he wants me. I'll go through the gate willingly. And so, what do we have to lose? You know, just this life. And what else can they do to us?
Well, they can't do much. George, it's always a pleasure to have you on. You're such a good friend. We've developed a great friendship over the last number of years, and it's been really fun to have you on. I hope we can have you back again soon. I want to make sure our audience knows, go to Tea with George, and you will find that website and get his minute of wisdom every single day during the week. And then Surviving Georgie is his book, and you can go to survivinggeorgie.com, correct?
Yes, that is. And it'll be true. And also, you can go to Tea with George and you can sign up to just get it by email. I have a lot of people who just get Surviving Georgie every morning by email. Yeah, there we go.
Well, thank you so much for being our guest. And I look forward to seeing our viewers next week for Connecting the Dots. George, thank you again. And we'll see you next week.